David, you've been talking today about mineral resources and particularly about carbon capture.
Yes.
And I think when people think about carbon capture, they mostly think of a big industrial process at a power plant, something like that. But you've been looking in a much more, what's the phrase? In a much more dispersed way about ways that we can capture carbon using minerals. Could you say a little bit about that?
Yes. What we've been doing is having a look at the capture of carbon in urban soils. And as anyone who's done any geology in an urban setting will know, made ground is full of demolition material. And indeed, as anyone who's done any gardening in the city will know, that you've got a lot of dust from mortar and cement products in the ground. So we've been measuring how much carbon is taken up by those, and we're getting something like 300 tonnes of carbon per hectare as carbon, which is almost twice as much as you get in agricultural land as organic carbon. The key difference is that difference between organic and inorganic. In a rural setting, it's organic carbon, but in the urban setting, it's inorganic. It's there as calcium carbonate, and that gives us a permanent sink in the sense that that calcium carbonate's the mineral calcite, and once that's precipitated and formed, it's going to stay as carbonate. The carbon's going to stay as carbonate even if the mineral dissolves. So that's what we've been doing, digging holes in demolition sites.
So in a rural setting, you do get carbon in the ground, but you're saying it's more just as organic carbon.
It is, yes.
And why is there that difference in an urban setting?
Yeah. In the urban setting, the key is the availability of calcium, because it's calcium from the lime that's there in the cement that was used in the construction that goes into the soil when a building's demolished. And it's not going in on purpose, it's just by chance and by accident and just the way things work out. But it builds up over the years. And it's the lime, calcium oxide or calcium hydroxide, or a calcium silicate gel that reacts with carbon dioxide in the soil solution to give you calcium carbonate. And that process doesn't happen to the same extent in rural settings because you don't have the artificial inputs.
So this is really interesting. I imagine when people think about environmental ways to mitigate carbon output, they're thinking usually of rural settings and great big tree-lined vistas. And actually, this is something we can do in urbanised areas. It sounds like that's something with a lot of potential. How far-reaching is this project so far?
Well, it can be done in rural areas where you've got transport corridors and things like that, and you have a source of these materials. But in the urban setting, what we've been doing is looking at a number of different demolition sites. We've been doing this with EPSRC funding, that's the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council. They've paid for this over the years, and a couple of NERC-funded, National Environment Research Council-funded research studentships. And so we've been gradually cataloguing this just to see how widespread it is and whether it's a general phenomenon. So it's one way of closing the loop on the carbon cycle in cement manufacture. And the thing that's important to remember is although we can show this is happening, and it's a good thing that it happens, it's only putting back the carbon that was lost when the limestone was turned into cement as part of the cement manufacturing process. And it doesn't even compensate for the energy cost of making that cement in carbon terms. It's literally putting back the carbon dioxide that was burnt off. So it helps close that loop, and that's important because we can see over the scale of generation of demolition waste in this country that it can be a very, very significant and substantial amount of carbon that is pulled down if it's encouraged to happen. So the clever thing to do is to think about, well, how can we get this to happen with rocks which have never been calcined, never been fired to get rid of the carbon dioxide within them because they don't have any carbon dioxide? And we've been able to show that with a rock like dolerite, which is a calcium silicate rich rock, that the same process works. If you mix fine material from dolerite with compost, the weathering process will take place in that soil, and the decomposition of the compost, part of the carbon will end up as calcium carbonate through weathering of the calcium silicates. And that then becomes a carbon negative way of capturing carbon from the atmosphere.
So you mentioned encouraging this to happen. How much encouragement does it need? Is it something that's happening naturally, or do you need a huge plot of land to try and build it up?
It is happening naturally, and I suppose the clever thing is to think about ways of enhancing it by choosing the right plants to grow in these demolition sites. And we all know Buddleia grows like mad on a demolition site, so things will grow there, and things will tolerate what look like the most inauspicious sites. We've found that by adding compost to these sites, and that's green waste compost, which comes from parks and gardens in a city, you can actually build up a soil which can be very rapidly colonised by plants that you might want to put in yourself, or you might see that it's infested by weeds. And of course, weeds are the desirable plants. They're the ones which you want to take over. So you end up with a bit of a meadow forming in an urban environment if you just let it go naturally to completion. So the challenge is to think about, well, how can you then look at the landscaping of a large area And this is one of the plans we've got for Newcastle Science Central, which is a 10-hectare site in the middle of Newcastle. It's where Newcastle Brewery once was, famous for its brown ale, but now it's a site that the city and the university are working on to develop as a science campus, and that will involve landscaping, and part of that landscaping will involve accelerating this process.
And realistically, I mean, you showed us some amazing pictures of these meadows and they look really lovely and things you wouldn't expect to see in a city. How many cities do you think would be prepared to give over large plots of land for a project like this, or are there ways to have that combined with other projects?
They don't have to look like a meadow from the point of view of looking as though they need a haircut. I mean, they can be managed, and growing grasses in parkland is one way of doing this. And of course, there are a number of examples of parks and other green spaces which have been put on land which might not have an immediate development purpose. And so urban authorities are quite used to this. We've done some work, or Carla Leanne Washburn, one of my PhD students, has worked with Groundwork on the concept of pop-up parks. And that is a way in which an organisation like Groundwork can help to make things happen by setting up these parks, and carbon capture will be part of the function of those, as well as all the amenity functions which people want.
So this could really change the way that cities are designed or planned in the future?
It's part of the greening of cities. It's part of making sure that you can integrate what goes on in the green environment in the city with what people want to have happen, and some other benefits that are wider societal benefits.
And is there anything people can do on an individual level? I mean, if they bury a brick in their garden, is that going to help at all?
Well, there are things that people can do. And of course, these things all take time, like any gardener knows. The main thing is to think about looking at some of these crushed rock materials that you can buy to improve your garden. Those will carbonate given time, and they'll gradually improve the structure of the soil as well if you've got a clay soil. So it's thinking about things like that. You probably wouldn't want to put demolition waste on your garden because it's unsightly, it's very lime rich, and so it can create problems for some plants. But mixing it with compost, you can help overcome some of those problems if by chance you're digging in the back of your garden and you find that it's a house which happens to have a dreadful soil because of all the demolition waste and building waste that might be there. A good dose of compost and manure will help sort that out, and at the same time some of the carbon from that compost and manure will be fixed as calcium carbonate.
And in terms of the future of this research, where are you looking to go with it?
Well, the future of this research is at a stage where we would like to really turn the land at Science Central in Newcastle to a big demonstration outside of this.
You're not just going to demolish all cities?
Slip of the tongue there. The demolition's happened and it's now in the building stage. So the idea would be to look at how we can do this on that site and monitor it over the next few years, and then to grow it into other areas and other climates as well.
Well, it's a fascinating area of research, and I'm really glad that we got to speak to you in Newcastle for the festival where the project's happening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah.